In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Blessed Lord Day, brothers and sisters, we're together, the church is full, glory be to God. And today's gospel reading is a very sobering one. And you know, as Orthodox Christians, especially in our community, I think we have a community of joy. And that's why it's growing. People need joy in a world of anxiety and stress and depression. But another essential thing is joy and truth must come together. A lot of people have kind of a flaky, shallow joy because it ignores or it numbs from the truth of our existence, that we're all human and we're going to die and we're going to get sick, and we try to avoid that by fun. But Christian joy is different. We accept the suffering. We know this life. We're sober about it. We're going to get sick. We're going to die. But we trust that Christ has trampled down death by death and given life to us in baptism. And through this life we live in the church, our joy is a deeper joy. It's not a false fun. It's much greater than that. And it's a joy that can't be taken by death or by suffering. That's the life we live. But to have true joy, we have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to see the reality of life as it is, not as we would like to make it. You know, there's some sober truths in today's gospel that we really need. Today is a very, this rich man and Lazarus parable is very, very powerful. We have to take it to heart and not explain it away. Now, it's funny, modern people nowadays, the modern mentality is, doesn't matter what you do, everybody goes to heaven. All dogs go to heaven, so all people must go to heaven, right? I mean, really, it's the modern belief is that it doesn't matter what you do. Now, where does that come from? Well, it comes, first of all, from a lack of what did God really say? But also it comes from our, people are racked with guilt. They feel terrible, but they know deep down they have a good heart and they can't, why do good people do terrible things? And we all feel that way. And rather than actually see the truth of it and repent, let's just make up a God for whom there are no real consequences for our actions and always gets an out and there's always a cover. God is merciful. He is love, but He's not a fool. God is the just judge. You can't fool God. Does it make sense that God's going to take your loving, humble, saintly grandma and put them right in the same place as Hitler? Am I saying God can't save Hitler? I'm not saying that. But it would make no sense for the God of justice to place them in the same place. And it would make no sense for the God of divine love to say that what your life does, what happens in your life, has no consequence. It doesn't matter what you do, you're all saved. Is God a fool? Is God an idiot? So if you murder, you do all these terrible things, it means nothing just because, well, God is love. God is love for those who attach to His love. Heaven is for those who have decided to live heaven in this life. And hell is reserved for those who actively chose not to enter paradise in this life. Not just at the end. Father Paul and I were speaking a lot about this. As Americans, we agonize, we're going to go to hell or not. The Christians, the ancient Christians didn't think this way. They thought, like Father Paul said, do you love Christ or not? Because if you have Christ, you already have paradise in this life. It's not some place. Heaven's up there, hell's down there. No. If you have Christ, the kingdom of heaven within you, you taste paradise now. When you die, it's the fulfillment of everything you wanted. The Father said, perhaps the judgment seat isn't some shocking, unknown, you know, kind of verdict. And rather, it's just the obvious continuation of what you chose in this life in eternity. That's what the Father says. It's much more of that than some shock and are we going to get in or not. The person knows in this life, if you live a life of love, then you go to the eternity of love. If you disregard a life of love, constantly, always, even at the end, God won't force you into the kingdom. God loves us so much, He will not overcome your free will, even at the end. So we have to really be careful in our hearts to not be lulled in the sleep of, well, everyone's kind of saved. Now, we pray for the salvation of the whole world, for the salvation of the whole world, but God is no fool. And the question is, how do we figure this out? Well, not by you and I saying, well, we hope is true. That's a nightmare. The Orthodox way is to say, the ancient Christian was, what did God say? People are fallible and make mistakes. God Himself. So, who's going to decide that? Jesus Christ, who made us, made all creation. He numbers the hairs in our heads. We will stand before Him at our death, at the final judgment seat as well, and He will know everything about us. And He decides. And so I think it behooves us, if He decides, let's listen to what He says. Now be clear, God isn't looking for ways to damn people. People often think this, God's not trying to ding people, right? He's looking for any excuse to save us, in fact. You know, a beautiful story from the Brothers Karamazov is a chapter called The Onion. It's unrelated to the rest of the characters of the story, totally. It's out of the blue. And there's a woman who's a horrible woman. Mean, lazy, nasty, baptized, yes, but nothing good about her. And then she dies, and she's going to a place of suffering. And the demons are rejoicing over her. And the angels come and say, no, no, she's ours. And the demons say, what do you mean? She was terrible. And they said, yes, but God saw that one time she gave an onion to a beggar out of love. And for that single act alone, God wants to save her. How beautiful is that? Now, we shouldn't say, well, I give lots of onions away, I'm good. I can be a jerk for the rest of my life. No. The point is that that's how much God loves. He's looking for ways to save us. And then what happens is that, it's like a green onion, like a leek, a big one. Russians understand, or non-Americans understand that. And that same onion, that leek that she gave, the angel drops it down, and by this, she grabs onto it, and it's pulling her from the place of suffering. And she's going up, other people in the place of suffering grab on to her and say, take me too, take me too. And she's rising up, they're all being pulled up, and she kicks them off and says, this is mine, get off of me. The second she does that, the onion breaks, and she falls, and the chapter's over. That's how it is. God is no idiot, but He's looking for every reason to save us. Never think otherwise. God wills that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. A God who doesn't want us all to be saved is not a God that I worship and love. But a God that invites us to salvation but gives us freedom is the most beautiful God. You don't want your wife to love you because she's programmed to, but because she chooses to. God made this world and invited us to love Him, and we can choose that, and life is beautiful in this life, and it's endlessly beautiful in eternity. Or we choose a living hell in this life, that's what we get in the next. So very important to know that we can't explain it away. Our Lord is very, very clear about what happens. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about how the doors to paradise, you know, or hell are locked from the inside, right? It's our free will means everything. God is looking for ways to save us. Nevertheless, there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, if you go through this parable, it's quite interesting. You have a rich man who has no name, and you have Lazarus, this poor man. In the world, his name meant nothing. Hopefully you listen to the gospel and you know the story, right? There's a rich man, he dresses to the nines every day. He dresses nice clothing. He's vain. He's full of himself, right? He's got plenty of shoes in the closet. He's got all that. And he eats like a king every day. And he disregards people around. He probably steps over Lazarus. In the world, I'm sure everybody knew his name. And he made sure of it because of his ego and his pride. And nobody knew the name of Lazarus. Nobody. He sat there. All he wanted was the food from the crumbs of his table. And he didn't even get that. And the dogs licked his sores. We are all the rich man. Don't think you're not. You say, I'm not rich. I'm not. Compared to that, yes. We eat when we want to eat, generally. All of us, I mean, a homeless person can eat 5 times a day in Salt Lake City. Glory be to God for that. But we don't live in great hunger. If you want clothes, you can get them. I mean, it's amazing. It's a blessing. But at the same time, we are all very vain. Think about how many pairs of shoes you have in your closet. It's a scandal. Sometimes Tim Basil the Great says, if you are so vain as to have 2 nice pairs of shoes, you should give one away. 2? Lord have mercy, right? I'm not saying to be a bad person. I'm not saying to do that. I'm simply saying that we should look at this words of Christ and say, where am I in this? Where am I in this? And if where we see ourselves, we better be humbled by it. We're all, people need to know me and respect me in this world and all these kind of things. No one wants to be like Lazarus. But what happened, it says in the gospel? It says, the rich man lives it up, eats, drinks, every day is a party. And Lazarus suffers. And it simply says, after death, Lazarus, who has a name that echoes into eternity. He had no name in the world, but his name echoes into eternity. By the way, we always say memory eternal for those who die. That their name is in God's memory forever and ever. And this man who no one remembered is now constantly in the embrace of God. And by the way, not just Jesus, in the embrace of the saints of Abraham. And he's in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. And the man who is so well known, He's nameless, and his name is forgotten before the throne of God because of his vanity and his pride and his sin. And it simply says, he died and was buried. End of story. His memory was buried. That's scary, brothers and sisters. We spend a lot of time thinking about how the world views us, how we look in the mirror, all these kind of things, when it's worthless. How much time do we spend thinking about how our soul looks? How do we have virtue? All the junk, and are we willing to do that? If we do, then we can live at least give as much time as you give to your vanity and to your body as you give to your soul. Because that's what's going to save us, brothers and sisters. It's a scary reality, but we're all very vain, all very rich man, all very worldly and focused in this world, and it is going to be a train wreck if we don't change our lives. That's what Jesus came to do, to change our lives. Not just change your philosophy. If you change your philosophy, I believe that, but I'm still really worldly, it's not going to work, brothers and sisters. And now he's in a place, and now he can see. It's a very terrible thing. He's in a place of torment. Jesus said this. There is a hell, brothers and sisters, and God wants no one there, but you can choose it. And he's in a place of torment, and he can see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he treats him like a slave still. Hey, send Lazarus over here and have him dip his finger and cool my tongue, because I am burning in this place. And then a very, very hard saying is given. By the way, you know what Lazarus' name means? In Hebrew, it means God is my help. Nobody was his help except for God, and he has a name. And the man has no name whatsoever. His only help was God. And what happens? There's a great chasm between the two of them. What is this gap? Can this gap be bridged? What do the Holy Fathers say? It's impossible. Impossible. Please help me. Please go to my brothers who are... He figured, I'm in trouble, but my brothers are still alive. Go to them. He knows that after this life, there's no repentance, brothers and sisters. The saints are clear. This life is given for repentance. I think St. Isaac is in the back there. If you read the scroll, you'll read it. I think it's something like, or some of his scrolls are given, that's St. John Damascus, but some of them say, this life is given for repentance. Do not waste it in vain pursuits. And brothers and sisters, that's pretty much all we do, is waste it in vain pursuits. More time on basketball than on God. More time on our hair than God. None of those things are evil in themselves, but they're not going to save your soul. Only a life of love and a life in Christ will. And it's very sobering. There is no crossing that chasm. Here on earth, we can repent, be baptized, confess our sins. And then guess what? We're going to stand before God. If we confess, if we repent on the judgment seat, none of those things are held to our account. Do you know that? Everything you confess with a contrite heart, even the worst things you've done, if you stand before God in repentance, none of it is to your account. Like a young child spiritually. How beautiful is that? That makes me love confession. We have to listen to the Lord because we're all going to stand before Him, brothers and sisters. You know, the parable of the sower of the seeds talks about how some seeds fall into shallow soil, some into rocky soil, some into good soil and it grows, but the world chokes it out, and then some into really good soil. The question is, what are you going to do with the life that's given to you? We have a very simple choice. And to be honest, the fathers don't say a lot about this parable because they say it's very clear on its own. There's the living God, Jesus Christ, who made heaven and earth. He made each of us, you and me, the stars, the moon, our hearts, everything. And He wants to save us so much that He became a man, He suffered, He taught us how to live, established this church that we're all a part of here in baptism. He ascended into heaven so we could follow Him to heaven. He rose from the dead, destroyed death for us, and gave us the keys to the kingdom of God to be saints like Him. To be holy like Him. Little Christs, even the Holy Fathers say. The call of a human being is so high, brothers and sisters, to be a person of love. It's amazing. Or we can forget all about that, our true calling, and we can be worldly people, selfish, focused. And notice this. Why did the rich man end up in hell? Did he murder anybody? No. Did he rape anybody? No. Did he... It's amazing. We think, well, if someone hurts or murders, then that makes sense to go to hell. But think about that. It's very sobering. The Lord, who decides, said He went to that place of suffering because He had no love. No love. So not only what we do, but what we don't do has an echo in eternity. It doesn't matter if you go to church and you go through the motions and you do this. If you walk past a homeless person and you despise them, you can know from the words where you will end up. And the Lord weeps over that. Coming to church and receiving communion and praying should give you more compassion for people like that. So our salvation, we're not faith alone. I was baptized, I'm going to be saved. Not true. Being baptized opens your heart, begins that journey of becoming a person of deep soil and love, and then your whole life is spent, how can I love Christ, and how can I love those who everyone else overlooks? Everyone else overlooks. The rich man always stepped over Lazarus in his own driveway. How often do you do this, brothers and sisters? Not just the homeless people. How about your own family? Start with them. People that are close to you. People in this community. You may not like them. Who cares if you like them? That doesn't matter. They're part of you. Our brother is our life, St. Silouan says this. Very sobering, brothers and sisters. Let us not be this postmodern, like, well, Jesus must not have really meant that. I mean, I really am a loving person. I made some mistakes, but God couldn't possibly keep me out of heaven. God doesn't say that. He wants all of us to be in paradise. He wants all of you to taste paradise now. That's why we live and breathe, to be in this church and to live this life and to be a person of love. In the judgment of St. Matthew, he says, right, what's the judgment off of? Not how many prostrations you did or what. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was naked, you clothed me. How many of us do this? How many of us not just do it once in a while, but make it your life? Brothers and sisters, we have a faithful community. I love this church. We have a repentant community. People that humble themselves and love, and they grow and they come to the services and they confess. I'm so happy about that. But we can't let the other go undone. If you're not willing to vacuum the church a little bit, if you're not willing to make food for fellowship hour, how are you going to help a homeless person? How are you going to love your boss who you can't stand if you can't love people here in your own community? It's very sobering, brothers and sisters, today's words from the Lord. There's paradise of bliss and there's hell and being separated from God. Two places the Lord kind of gives us a little vision of today. Why? To scare us? Never. To inspire us. That this life is a beautiful gift and you have a choice to waste it and be in living hell or to cherish it and to live for Christ and to live for others. And you have to do, God won't force you. So my prayer today is, you know, it says in the Psalms, the words of the Lord are pure words. We've seen that in the Orthodox service. These are pure words from the living God Himself. Ask yourself, do I love the poor? Do I love people around me? Do I get out of my way for them? Are they special to me? Am I like that poor man Lazarus? Oh my God, I'm not. God, forgive me. And starting today, I'm going to change and repent and have love and wake up from my selfishness and say, Lord, I'm so much more like this nameless man. Please don't forget my name, O Lord. How do we get a name? You're given a name in baptism. And the book of Revelation, it says, everyone is given a new name written on a white stone. What is that name? The fathers say, that's what we're trying to discover. But you won't discover that name until you really start living the Christian life. Baptism, beginning. Repentance and love of the other. Sacrificial love that makes people say, boy, what love does that person have? So much love for the poor, for every person more than themselves. This should be said of every Orthodox Christian. And it's sad that somehow we can forget this. May it be the mark of each of us, starting with this pathetic priest, starting with each of us, very simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do it if we're just way too busy loving ourselves, eating, drinking, eating, and feasting sumptuously every day. Lord, help us to come to ourselves. Help us to wake up from our sinful life. Help us to take the medicine of this church. Help us to see that we are all the rich men. If we don't change our ways, it'll be sad in this life and the next. But let us not be afraid or fearful or scared, for God is love. Let us draw close to you, O Christ. Let us be more humble and accepting and patient of our wounds, of our scabs, the dogs that lick us this world, and not looking to always be recognized, but to always seek that our name on that white stone can be given to us through humility, repentance, love for the other, that our name can be remembered. On that last day, the Lord says at your death, you were faithful over little. I'll make you Lord over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's all I want, is for each one of you to be saved. Each one of you to hear those beautiful words from Christ. And if you live the life in Christ, you will be saved by the promise of Christ. And if we don't, if we deny this love by the words of the Lord Himself, it's a terrible thing to even think about. May we all be inspired, make a new beginning today to be with our Lord and to live and have a name like Lazarus, whose name means God is our help. May this world be put aside, and may God be constantly our help on the path to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.